Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Christopher Mulan, founder and editor of The Technical Traders. And Chris, let's start off talking about U.S. equity markets. Tough day yesterday for the markets as they continued that slide, and that slide really just picked up steam. But if you go back for about a week and a half now, not quite a week and a half, but these markets have been moving down, made that top at about 30.27, and now we're already down at 28, let's call it 28, well, 50, in around there. What do you think about this weakness in the U.S. equity markets? It still hasn't broken any lower lows, but it's definitely looking weak over the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I kind of saw this coming, and we were in good position for it. We got out of the longs last week, and we got into a short, and we pulled money off yesterday on that big drop. And it's not a good sign. I mean, there's some pretty big distribution selling going off in the market, but we're not really seeing the internals, advancers, decliners really crash and tumble. So they're actually still holding up fairly well. I mean, the big question is going to be here. How does the market recover? What does it do over the next week or three after this? Are we going to have a little bounce here, an oversold bounce like today, carry on for a few more days, and then go and test those lows or go even lower like we saw in the May type of sell-off? Or are we going to rip back up and test the highs again? And that's the big question. At this point, I mean, we're still in a bull market. On a short-term swing trader standpoint, I mean, you should technically either be in cash or still short. I think this bounce here could get sold into, but I mean, really, the move is kind of done. Now it's a question of how big is this bounce going to be, and then from that bounce, what pattern does it form on the shorter-term charts to either get long this extended move to the upside or to get repositioned for another leg to the down? And you know, overall, this is still somewhat of a healthy market correction. We've had a very strong year. We had the May pullback. This pullback is, you know, it was a little overdue and it dropped real quick yesterday, but it's still healthy. You need these corrections in the market. And the market's oversold. It's tested the 200-day moving average in overnight trading last night. We saw continuation selling yesterday. So the stock market closed during regular trading hours. And we saw the market, the S&P 500, drop another 1.5% in overnight trading. It tagged the 200-day moving average, and then it just rebounded, and it's been moving higher pretty much all day. So I think we're in store for a bounce for a couple of days. The question is, how big is this bounce? And it's definitely an active trader's market right now.
So to keep you, let's say, bullish, does the market, when it goes through this bounce, need to get back to all-time highs or even further exceed these all-time highs from just a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't break to new highs, I'm going to be starting to think, okay, this could be a topping formation. And if we break, say, today's low in a couple weeks from now, that'll be bearish. If we break the May lows or the June lows, you know, things are going to be looking really ugly. We'll be going back down to the December lows, which is a long ways from where we are right now. If we break December lows, we are technically in a full-fledged bear market. If you were to look at like a big weekly chart or and zoom way out, I mean, it would be a standout major top formation. So there's a lot of things that need to come together for a bear market to take place. At this point, if you're a long-term investor, you should still be long equities, but I wouldn't be putting new money in right now. And then if we start to break the June lows or the December lows, you got to absolutely exit the equities market and wait to see what happens from there, because it could get really ugly very quick. And I posted an article on your site talking about the transportation index, the industrials, and the small caps. And I blended all those charts together into one, and we actually have the exact setup that we saw back in 2008 of those three sectors moving in the same pattern that we had in 2008 right now, and we are potentially weeks away from the start of a full-fledged bear market. So it's really interesting how history has a way of repeating itself, and it does it in these kind of camouflage ways. If you dig into the charts and find the leading sectors, which are those three, they're actually doing what they did before, just before a bear market started. So I am bearish, but you can't start betting against the market yet.
No, you really can. It's one of those, you almost need that confirmation for a bear market if you do want to bet against it, because, you know, as much as people have been bears and pessimistic on that market, anyone who's tried to short for a longer period of time has just gotten burned by the markets moving higher. But you know what? Is still some weakness here, and you could argue that there is this general topping pattern going on really since the start of 2018. But let's move to a market that is a bit more encouraging, where I think you can make some good money putting your money in there. That is the precious metals market. We're seeing the US dollar show a little bit of weakness, but really the gold price has been moving on the back of a rising US dollar. There's a lot of politics driving this. There's a lot of central bank news driving it. But what do you think about the gold breakout, gold holding where it is, and just recently reaching new multi-year highs?
Yeah, well, I love the precious metals market. I mean, it's finally making waves. It's, you know, it's broken out to the upside. Miners are breaking out. Silver is still kind of lagging, but it's lurking there, ready to explode. You never know when silver is really going to do it, but I think everything is kind of, the perfect storm is brewing for precious metals miners, that whole kind of sector in general. And you know, I think gold is just starting another breakout, and it could continue to run to 1550 or 1650 very quickly here. So I like the metals. The only short-term point looking at it is simply the U.S. dollar had a huge drop yesterday. It fell down to a really important support level, and it might bounce for a couple of days, which could hold metals a little bit ransom, hold them still for a couple of sessions. But overall, I mean, the metal sector, everything is, on the technical standpoint, is screaming. It's in a new bull market.
So does that mean the trading strategy is find either the ETFs or the stocks that you like and buy on the dips, even if those dips, say, like were last week where it lasted less than 24 hours? You still trying to buy into those type of short-term opportunities?
For sure. If you don't have it in your portfolio yet, or you don't have your full amount that you want allotted in your portfolio, I mean, we bought that Fed dip. We actually got in. I think silver is going to be one of the best performing metals when you look forward long term. And we had that Fed move, and then silver, miners, metals, everything tanked after it. And we bought the SIL ETF, the silver miners, because I think they've got huge potential. And we just added a little bit of those on that sharp pullback right near the low of the day. And then, of course, it's just rebounded massive after that. And yeah, they're still lagging behind gold miners, but silver miners tend to lag, and they play catch up later in the game. So I think these dips, if you're not into position, you should be looking to buy these dips, because you really got to be in the precious metals market. They're the next bull market in the financial sector right now. You know, bonds are really doing well as also. So you got to, you know, you rotate. The market's always evolving. There's always a big winner. There's always a big loser. And when the winners start to roll, you got to roll into the next winners that are bottoming, right? So you just kind of rotate from sector to sector. And right now, that is the precious metals at this point.
Yeah, it's encouraging for, I think, more generalist investors that are starting to get into the sector, for some of these lifelong resource investors that followed that market the whole way through that boring sideways and even down market, something that we did as well. But now with this breakout, it is much more encouraging. And that 1550 level is an initial stopping point on this current run. You're not alone in looking at that and comparing that to the breakdown back in 2012, 2013. Chris, one more comment, though, when it comes to the time of year that we're in for the precious metals. Do you pay any attention to that? We're still seeing generally lower volume, especially when it comes to shares, and well, people are away from their desks. Do you think that could provide a boost coming up when they get back, or is there something else we should consider?
It's hard to say. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, you know, the markets crashed in August. It's like the lightest volume time of the year. Usually the markets don't crash on light volume. Light volume actually favors higher prices. So, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. Going off volume in the time of year, I mean, it's kind of tough, because the market seems to do what you don't expect. I mean, you can't prepare for something that you're not expecting, right? So that's why I love technical analysis. It's just because I can follow it, And if we have a huge move, as long as I'm following the overall trend, I should be in favor of that move. If not, I've got protection in place. So October's typically a pretty tough time for the equities market. We're going to inch our way there. But at this point, there might be people panicking when summer's over, they get back to their desks. But I kind of feel like people have got the pulse on the market. I mean, money's moving pretty quick in and out. I think the Fed move really shook the global markets up. I think it got enough people aware to look back at their markets and see what's going on with their positions. And that's why I think we're seeing a lot of panic today over the last couple of days, is we're just seeing follow through of investors kind of having that wake up call that the markets are moving there and they're panicking, which is great because these panic sell-offs are usually great opportunities to profit from the drop and profit from more or less the pop.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, right? It's so overbought right now that a drop is in the cards. When that comes, no one knows. But one thing also that seems more likely than not is that drop will be very short-lived. Let's move over to the energy sector. A balance between crude, let's say oil, and natural gas. Oil's been heading lower. Crude had a really rough day just last week, and the trend is still down. Where are you balancing out, either oil plays or natural gas plays?
Well, I think natural gas is setting up for a really big kind of trend. If you were to look at the long-term charts, I mean, we've got $2. We posted an article on your site there several months ago saying August, September should be around a $2 natural gas. That should set up for a major standout bottom when you're looking at the long-term charts. And, you know, it's got potential to $3 after that. Now, it's got awesome potential, but there's no great way to trade natural gas. Even if you buy an ETF, it just loses value pretty darn quick. So I like natural gas, but it's tough, really tough to trade. And on the flip side, crude oil, to me, has got a bearish formation. You can trade it much easier. The ETFs don't lose value as much, at least if you stick with a single leverage or no leverage ETF. You can trade oil. And to me, oil, the next stop is going to be back down to those June lows. We're going to see $51 per barrel. The price pattern looks like it's starting to break down already today, and it could continue to fall. And if we break those levels, then the next stop will be somewhere around $43 per barrel. So I'm really bearish on crude. I mean, I was bullish only a few weeks ago. It had a nice pullback. We were ready to get long. We did get long, and it rolled over, formed this bearish formation, and then we're out of it because it looks bearish. It looks like it's going to fall. Really, even today, tomorrow, it looks like it could continue to fall and pick up speed towards that $51 per barrel.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Yeah, so crude continuing to look weak, and even that around $43, that's the whole way down to the December low from last year. So pretty disappointing when you consider it was over $65 just in early spring. Chris, it's good chatting with you. Thanks for breaking down just some of your thoughts on the markets that we follow and some of the markets that actually have been moving quite nicely. Finally, that includes the precious metals. Chris, thanks for your time. Everyone, click that link below. Go visit Chris's website, thetechnicaltraders.com. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Corey. Take care.